Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. Today is August 19th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 75 of Who's Reading the Organon? We'll be reading aphorism number 55 today. We begin with some inspirational quotes from my favorite social network besides HWC, of course. It's Twitter, and I've got a few random thoughts. They come through the Twitter stream, and I look at them, and they really bring something into my life. The first one is by G. Gasp. He says, happiness is nothing more than good health and a bad memory. That is a quote from Albert Schweitzer. The second one is tweeted by She Cooks, who quotes Charles Darwin. Ignorance more frequently begets confidence than does knowledge. That's one to pause and think about. The next one is by a quote of the Dalai Lama himself in his own Twitter identity, writes, what we find is that the more we develop concern for others' well-being, the easier it becomes to act in others' interests. And let's see, I thought there was one more that I wanted to tweet out to the universe. I can't seem to find it. It was something, I put it on the broadcast message for today's session. Somebody had tweeted out there, and it's not a quote from anybody, if you're waiting for a message from God, this is it. And I thought that really was such a great quote from whoever thought it up. I just loved it because people are always waiting for some kind of a sign before they take action or before they know whether to do something or not. And it's just like, okay, this is, oh, here it is. It's tweeted by We Promote. So it's an unknown author of that particular quote. I hear Vera.
Hi, Debbie.
I hear your
glass. I have my cold drink.
Your cold drink with ice, lots of ice.
With ice, that's right. It's very hot. Very hot, yeah.
Oh my gosh, this has been quite a summer all around the world, and I wanted to remind people that the flood victims of Pakistan are in dire need of help, and I will be posting something up on the network. Dr. Waqar has been in connection with me. He is in Karachi now. He's going to be there for a number of months, and he's helping people. He has given me some good leads as to where we can find secure places to donate. On the network itself, I was not going to mention anything in particular except to welcome our new members. We have quite a few new members who are just getting up and started. There is a place where there are tutorials to help you learn about navigating around the network. There's a lot to learn. There's the forum with the discussions and your personal blog. There's places to upload photographs and videos. And there's different groups, many, many groups that you can join where people have specific interests, including the Blog Talk Radio HWC group, where I've been trying to keep up with all of our 75 shows. And I'll tell you, it is not easy to keep up with your blogs. that is part of what we are doing. Vera and I have made a commitment to each other to study every day, at least Sunday through Thursday, for 30 minutes. And we've opened it up to the world to come in and listen with us on our study of the Organon. And I think that's about all the news I'm going to give for today. If you have any comments, please post it on the live chat, and we will read it over the air. Vera, we're ready to go ahead with aphorism number 55, I think.
Okay, let's go.
Okay.
Soon, however, the public became convinced that the sufferings of the sick increased and heightened with the introduction of every one of these systems and methods of cure, if followed exactly. Long ago, these allopathic physicians would have been left, had it not been for the palliative relief obtained at times from empirically discovered remedies, whose almost instantaneous flattering action is apparent to the patient, and this to some extent served to keep up their credit.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have to say about this?
It sounds like he's giving an explanation of why people have faith and trust in allopathic medicine based on the coincidental times that it overlapped with the homeopathic familimum, that they came across things that were working, and or I guess the other opposite is the alleviation of symptoms based on opposites, but it was only temporary. So he's talking to us now about not to the homeopath, not to the general public or the doctor, but he's kind of explaining the reasoning. Who is he talking about here, or who is he talking to? That's kind of what I'm questioning.
Mm-hmm. The Organon is written not for for general interest, has always been my understanding. The Organon was written for people who are doctors, was written especially for the medical profession, and is written for those who want to work as doctors. I mean, initially, all or most of the homeopaths were medical doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, he's trying to highlight the difference in acceptance between homeopathy and conventional medicine, and how conventional medicine actually managed to gain a handhold when so often it
mm-hmm.
doesn't.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't always work, but on occasion it does. And on those occasions, maybe they found something that worked consistently.
And then you have the question of what does it mean if something is working? Like if mm-hmm. a child has fever and you take a conventional medicine that brings the fever down, so that medicine has worked?
Mm-hmm. Whether it's aspirin or Tylenol.
Does working mean fury? Mm-hmm. No, it's right. with a question mark, because what does it mean to say
right.
something has worked? And in a way, we keep
right.
coming back to the linchpin of the Organon. The objective of the physician is to cure, not to palliate.
Mm-hmm.
So it means
mm-hmm.
that the kid has a fever because he's got an inflammation somewhere. We've given something that brings down the fever, so we've removed the expression.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for most people mm-hmm. who have children, as soon as the fever goes down, it's like, oh, what a relief, the fever is down. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Not so.
The medicine worked. Did it work?
Right. No. We know it doesn't. We know the medicine worked on the intent that it had. If the intent was to take down the fever, it worked. But if the intent is much deeper and broader, if the intent was to help the individual build its own strength to fight off or ward off, let's say, measles or influenza or whatever it is, did it work? Well, usually what happens is that illness lingers for a very long time in other areas of the body. It depends on who's defining whether it worked, right? Because then they'll have to give another medicine for congestion or something else.
Well, it's like when patients come and they say, I took a medicine for this and it really worked. And then I took another medicine for that and that really worked well too. And they're describing problems, diseases, they're actually going deeper and deeper. And they don't see a connection. They say, I took a medicine for that third thing and that really worked, that went away. And then I got, like, someone who I was treating was telling me that she had a mole or something in the area of her left ovary, but on the skin. And it was removed and it came back, and it was removed and it came back, and it was removed and it came back. Then she found someone with a special technique and it was removed completely. And then she developed a cyst on that ovary, which was removed, then it came back, and it was removed, then it came back. And then she found a really good doctor and special method, and the cyst was removed. And the next stage in the pathology was endometriosis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could say, oh, there's no connection, it was coincidental, but it's rather odd. You go through a process, you see something is removed, comes back, and then when it's removed terminally, something else comes in that is less pleasant, and that's deeper.
Yeah.
And in this particular case, you could see the progression totally innocently on the part of the patient. It's not as if the patient was stupid. The patient was following instructions.
Mm-hmm.
So
right. So this is explaining how the patient, which is the public, which he's talking about, can become convinced that the sufferings of the sick increased and heightened with the introduction of every one of these systems and methods of cure followed exactly.
But there's an instantaneous flattering action, which is apparent to the patient. You know, you remove something and it's gone.
Right.
Let's take, for example, antidepressants. A person is feeling depressed, takes an antidepressant, and there's an instantaneous flattering action, which is apparent to the patient and keeps up the credit of the doctor. And then the medicine does not hold, and the patient comes back. The doctor says, oh, yes, of course, you now need to take it 4 times a day instead of 3 times a day.
Yes. We've talked about the fact that they have to keep increasing the dose or making it more often.
But it's one of the mysteries of life. I know someone who goes to a dentist. It's one of the mysteries of life. I know someone who goes to a dentist who constantly botches the treatment. Constantly. Mm-hmm. And this person keeps going back over and over and over again.
Oh, that's one of your favorite quotes. Insanity, it's one by Einstein. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again when it doesn't work.
But they don't expect different results. I think that people don't expect enough from their carers.
Oh.
From their healthcare providers.
Well, maybe we can discuss at some time the mindset and the rationale behind that, why a person either feels that they have to be in that position or remain in that position or find a way out from an uncomfortable situation or something that's not working. I think humanity, we have different rationales and reasons for being in a place and accepting what, let's say, we think we cannot change, or, well, this is the way it is in this particular society. And unless we know something else, and that's the purpose of our study, is to open this awareness up to the public that there is another method. There is another way of viewing healing, health, and the world in which we live. So, yeah, this is pretty good. Do we want to move on to aphorism 56, or do you have more on 55?
Let's move to 56.
Okay.
One
other thing that I might say is a lot of people will say, I just have to function. I just have to get up in the morning and go to work and take care of my family, or get up and go to school and do what I need to do. And in order for them to do that, they may not be willing to wade through perhaps what's considered a long process of homeopathy and wait it out for something that they are somewhat unsure about, as opposed to know if I take this aspirin, my headache or my cramps or my Midol or whatever it is that they use, those symptoms will go away, and then I can go ahead and live my life and do what I need to do. And that might be one reason or rationale that people use.
I think those are the ones who haven't experienced homeopathy working at speed, because the people who have experienced it, now, even if I say to them, oh, I can't do anything for you right now, they say, well, come up with something, because if it's something that I have at home, I know it will help straight away.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who've used homeopathy and have seen how it can help really fast and more effectively than conventional. I remember one person told me that they were taking 4 Advil for pain relief, 4 Advil at a time. And mm-hmm. when they started with a remedy, the remedy did the pain relief of 4 Advil.
Mm-hmm. It's very powerful medicine.
They were in shock. They were in shock.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, this is the thing. We have to have people who have experienced it be the spokespeople for our method of healing. We have to get people to talk out to their neighbors and spread the word. I hate to say this. This always got me to feel quite uncomfortable when I first heard this saying that let's go viral. I always had a negative connotation to viruses, and now I don't. Now I feel like, okay, if we go viral, that means if we hit the big time and the word is out, it's very contagious, and we want homeopathy to be contagious. So it's a different way of looking at it, to a spin from the negative to the positive.
Yeah.
Okay, aphorism number 56, if I can read it.
Yeah.
By means of this palliative, antipathic, and antipathic method introduced according to Galen's teaching, contraria contrarius, for 17 centuries, the physicians hitherto could hope to win confidence while they diluted with almost instantaneous amelioration. But how fundamentally unhelpful and hurtful this method of treatment is in diseases not running a rapid course, we shall see in what follows. It is certainly the only one of the modes of treatment adopted by the allopaths that had any manifest relation to a portion of the sufferings caused by the natural disease. But what kind of relation? Of a truth, the very one, the exact contrary of the right one, that ought carefully to be avoided if we would not delude and make a mockery of the patient affected with a chronic disease. And there is a footnote to that. Let's see. It's kind of long. Do we want to read the footnote first?
Yeah, go ahead. Well, go ahead.
Okay. And the footnote to that one is, a third mode of employing medicines in diseases has been attempted to be created by means of isopathy, as it is called. That is to say, a method of curing a given disease by the same contagious principle that produces it. But even granting this could be done, yet after all, seeing that the virus is given to the patient highly potentized and consequently in an altered condition, the cure is affected only by opposing assimilimum to assimilimum. To attempt to cure by means of the very same morbific potency per item or item, how do you pronounce that one, contradicts all... Everybody does it their own way? Okay.
Yeah.
Potato. Mm-hmm. Contradicts all normal human understanding and hence all experience. Those who first brought isopathy to notice probably thought of the benefit which mankind received from cowpox vaccination, by which the vaccinated individual is protected against future smallpox infection and, as it were, cured in advance. But both cowpox and smallpox are only similar, in no way the same disease. I believe Dr. Saji told us this last time. In many respects, they differ, namely in the more rapid course and mildness of cowpox, and especially in this, that it is never contagious to man by mere nearness. Universal vaccination put an end to all epidemics of that deadly, fearful smallpox to such an extent that the present generation does no longer possess a clear conception of the formal, frightful smallpox plague. Moreover, in this way, undoubtedly, certain diseases peculiar to animals may give us remedies and medicinal potencies for very similar important human diseases, and thus happily enlarge our stock of homeopathic remedies. But to use a human morbific matter, a sorin taken from the itch in the man, as a remedy for the same human itch or for evils arisen therefrom is, and I don't have a question mark, I have a question mark and a blank. Mm-hmm. Nothing can result from this but trouble and aggravation of the disease. Is there a fill in the blank there?
No, I think it's the 1840s version of expletive deleted.
Oh, they put a crosshatch through it? A strike through
it? No, it's a rhetorical question.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's quite humorous. I'm getting your little bit of dry humor. It's hard to catch sometimes, Vera.
It's the okay. British in me.
Okay. Well, okay. We seem to have traveled from aphorism 55 to 56 very well. Can you hold on for 1 second? I'll let you talk, and I have 1 moment. So I'll be off for 1 moment and keep talking about this aphorism.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
The first thing to notice really is we were talking in terms of conventional medicine providing an instantaneous flattering action which is apparent to the patient. And here we see very much an example of this is allopathic medicine's work. They delude the patient with almost instantaneous amelioration, as Hahnemann writes in 56. But here we have again the example of if you plunge your arm into cold water, and one arm keep out, then the arm that you plunge into cold water will heat up more than the other arm when it comes out. As soon as you work with opposites, you set into action a pendulum of opposite swings. Are you back, Debbie?
Okay. Yes. I had to go. My daughter is leaving for college, and I wanted to give her a hug. And so let me hold on 1 second. It's in the kitchen, honey. Yeah, you're getting a personal
some
family
real life. Yes,
this is a real life. Real. Remember, I created a video that I put up about a particular plant that I went shopping in the grocery store. And while I was shopping in the Indian market, I found a bottle of rose water, and it's so fragrant and beautiful. And my daughter's name is Rose, so I bought it for her, and she's asking me where it is. I'm going to let you continue. I have to get the bottle of rose water for her, and I'll be back in 1 second. This is real life.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So basically, 56 continues the line that what the allopaths are doing within their work is they're deluding the patient. And I think sometimes the doctor himself also, because many doctors are very committed to what they're doing, and they see the instantaneous improvement in the patient. And they don't see cure in terms of curing a dynamic. They see cure in terms of curing a physical cause. So that's, I think, what goes on here. But Hahnemann gives the punch of a truth, the very one that ought to be carefully avoided if we would not delude and make a mockery of the patient affected with a chronic disease. Now, Hahnemann comes out very clearly against isopathy in the footnote 56, And I know that there has been some discussion in the past, and some HWC members also mentioned an issue with isopathy, thinking that it was something that Hanuman approved of. But I think it's very clear from this footnote that Hanuman totally disapproved of isopathy, not as a knee-jerk reaction, but he investigated it. And this is one thing that's important to know. When Hanuman rejects anything, he's not rejecting out of hand. He was a great experimenter. He checked it out, he looked into it, and saw that it didn't work. It didn't live up to the standards, and it didn't achieve the results that he kept seeing when you give a similimum to a similimum.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, are you back, Debbie?
Yes, I am. But sometimes isopathy is used, we have to differentiate also isopathy from nosodes, because that is different then.
Well, the thing is, isopathy is very much in the same way as homeopathy means homeopathic to the case. It does not mean a diluted remedy. And isopathy is the same. If, let's say, someone has, the example that Hanuman himself gives, if someone has an itch, so we automatically give them psoriasis. Someone has psoriasis, we give them psoriasis. That doesn't work. And he's seen it doesn't work. And it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It makes sense to give something which works according to a rule of what works. And the rule of what works was set up based on experience, not based on some kind of religious belief that similars cure. And I think this is something that's important to state, because sometimes Hanuman's very passion is confusing. It makes people feel that he has almost a religious belief in homeopathy and will oppose anything different simply out of that passion. But no, Hanuman was an experimenter. He was a very serious guy. He was very demanding in terms of the criteria for proving. So in terms of isopathy as well. Now, I know that it happens that when we have no idea what to give, or if we're stuck, some of us will give the same morbific matter. And that sometimes does happen, and sometimes we do see improvement. But it's not a rule. And something that's not based on a rule is sort of touch and go. It's trial and error. And Hanuman is very much trying to move us into an area where we're not in trial and error. And I think that's something that we all need to examine in terms of our own practices. Are we practicing kind of throwing medicines at the patient, remedies, and hoping, well, maybe this one will help? Or are we going according to the clear rule of symptom similarity and giving remedies to patients knowing that they will work, having that inner confidence because we've gone according to the rule, we've taken the case as necessary, we give a remedy, and we have the knowledge that this remedy will help.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I think, is the objective for every homeopath, to have that knowledge, not to be working in any shape or form with trial and error, to know we give a remedy and this remedy will do what we want it to do.
I know that is our highest goal. I know that is your highest goal, for to know and have a secure knowledge that it will work. And whenever we talk about doubt, that comes into play. I also feel as if we only have a few seconds left, but I also feel that aphorism number 56, if I could do a diagram, I would draw a line all the way back to aphorism 55, that it reflects back on how it was that the public was convinced, or happenstance, that some of those remedies were working, some such as the isopathics, the similars were working in an isopathic fashion. And since we are out of time, maybe we will review a little bit more about aphorism 56 on the next session, which is on Sunday. I appreciate everyone for listening today, for commenting, get in on the blog, and write further commentary or questions, and we'll take a look at it. Okay.
Okay.
Have a great
Thanks, Debbie.
Day, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon? with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.